Faith produces repentance, and repentance changes the practices of the subject, causes him to cease doing evil and commence doing right, but he is not yet born again. His heart may be as submissive to God's will as it can ever get to be. Yes, he may be a worshiper of God to the best of his knowledge and still not be born again. The new birth does not consist in a reformation of life. An examination of the character of Cornelius will give proof of this. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Acts 10, verses 1 through 4. Here was a devoted, charitable, praying, and God-fearing man quite as good as the best of our day as far as reformation of life can make them good, and yet he was not born again. But says an objector, he was born again, for he saw an angel that told him so. Not exactly. He did see and converse with an angel that told him his prayers and his alms were coming up for a memorial before God, and he told him more than this. Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. Acts chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. Was he born again and still unsaved? The promise, shall be saved, clearly shows that he was unsaved. And not only so, but he was to hear words of Peter by which he was to be saved. Was he saved by the words before he heard them? If so, why did not the angel shape the language thus? Who shall tell thee words by which you are or have been saved? If he was at that time born again, it follows that there is no salvation in being born again, for it is as clear as language can make anything that he was not then saved in the gospel sense of that word. If he was born again when the angel appeared to him, he was born again without ever having heard the gospel, and therefore without gospel faith. Peter, in alluding to this matter, said that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Acts chapter 15 and verse 7. Then Cornelius had neither heard the gospel nor believed it until Peter preached it to him, and surely a cause must be desperate that could assume that he was born again prior to that time. Then, as his conduct was as good before birth as after it, it follows that the birth did not consist in a reformation of life in this case. A birth contemplates a change of state, a transition or passing from one state to another. A change of state, then, and the beginning of a new life is the thought conveyed by the expression born again, and we have the same thought presented by Paul in his epistles, in other figures, varied to suit the circumstances under which he wrote. He expresses it by the figure of marriage in Romans 7 and verse 4, by the figure of grafting in Romans 11 and verse 24, by the figure of adoption in Romans 8 and verse 15, Galatians 4 and verse 5, and by the figure of translation from one government to another in Colossians 1 and verse 13. If an individual be married to Christ, his state is changed. He is born again. If he be taken from the wild olive tree and grafted into the tame olive tree, or from the world and grafted into Christ, the true vine, his state is changed. He is born again. If he be taken, as a child, from one family and adopted into another, the family of God, his state is changed. He is born again. If he renounce his allegiance to one government, the devil's, and be legally translated into another, the kingdom of God's dear Son, his state is changed. He is born again. We might amplify each of these figures of speech and show the correctness of the position assumed. But our space will only allow us to use a single one of the illustrations given. A gentleman visits and seeks the hand of a lady under unfavorable circumstances and is rejected. There may be a single cause or many causes cooperating to produce his rejection. She may be unfavorably impressed with his character, Or she may worship at the shrine of another, whose heart she hopes to win, or both causes may cooperate in producing his rejection. Circumstances change, however, and she finds her first suitor an unworthy man, and she becomes disgusted with him. Meanwhile, she learns more of the character of the man she rejected and finds him chaste in his conversation, courteous, polite, and accomplished in manners, that a social, warm, and undissembling heart controls him, that he has a mind well stored with valuable information, that he has descended from a good family, and above all, that he is possessed of inexhaustible wealth. A knowledge of these facts changes her heart, and she now admires and loves the man she once rejected. She receives him gladly and is willing to become the sharer of his prosperity or adversity through life, but she is not yet his wife. Though her heart is changed, her state is not. She was in the single or unmarried state at first and is yet so. The parents may consent, the license be secured, the proper officer be present for the solemnization of the nuptials, the supper prepared, and the wedding furnished with guests, and still she is not married. And were the process here arrested, she would not be entitled to the privileges of his house, to wear his name, to inherit his estate. When she is married, and her state legally changed, then, and not till then, is she entitled to all the privileges growing out of the new relationship. Now for the application. The gospel is preached to the sinner. He is in love with the transient pleasures afforded him in service of the devil. The carpenter's son, born in Bethlehem and cradled in a manger, has no charms for him. By and by he finds that the pleasures of sin are deceptive, and the devil, in whose service he delighted, has nothing with which to reward him but misery and woe. Meanwhile he learns more of him who proposes to save all who will come to God by him. He finds him so chaste in conversation that guile is not found in his mouth, so amiable in disposition that when he is reviled he reviles not again, and yet so powerful that the furious winds and boisterous waves are calm at his bidding. The grave yields up the dead to live again, and devils tremble at his word. The waters are firm as a pavement beneath his majestic tread. God is his Father, and he is the only Son and heir to all things. He is chief among 10,000 and altogether lovely. With faith like this, he cannot fail to feel grieved that he ever loved the devil or his service, because he is the enemy of him whom he now loves supremely. Surely his heart is now changed. Is he born again? If so, there is no fitness in the figure, for he is not married yet. Though his heart is changed, his state is not. And if he stops at this point, he can no more claim the Christian name and character than can the unmarried woman claim the name and patrimony of him to whom she is espoused. But it is insisted that this change of heart is the new birth, and, strange enough too, the same persons insist that we have no change of heart and deny the importance of it when in reality we have their change of heart and new birth in our change of heart. We insist that we must not only love our betrothed, but we must be married to the bridegroom according to law, before we can claim the privileges of his bride. He will not permit us to live with him in adultery if we were so disposed. A change of heart, then, is not a change of state. It must precede the new birth, but it is not the new birth. The language born again was unique when used by Christ to Nicodemus. No inspired man had used such language before. Is there any reason for its use then? The Jews believed that Jesus had come to re-establish the kingdom of David and literally sit on his throne on the earth. Hence, when he entered Jerusalem on one occasion, they that went before him and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord! Mark chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And even his apostles did not understand the nature of his kingdom until after they received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and were by it guided into all truth. When they therefore came together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. It is not unreasonable that Nicodemus had the same mistaken views of the kingdom, and he knew well that he was born into that kingdom and had a right to citizenship in it by virtue of Abrahamic parentage, and being a ruler of the Jews, a master of Israel, he may have expected to be entitled to an office in Christ's kingdom on that account. Jesus corrects this mistake by telling him that the kingdom of God was not to be entered in that way. But as a birth gave him entrance into that, he must be born again to enter this.